Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good afternoon, everybody. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Monday, July the 2nd, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Igor from Dolphins NYC. He is one of the co-founders of Dolphins NYC, and they put together the MetLife Takeover. And for those of you who haven't heard yet or haven't seen yet, the tickets right now are on sale for the MetLife Takeover 2018. The game is week 2, Sunday, September the 16th. So we're going to talk to Igor, and he'll tell us all about the history of the MetLife Takeover, how it's grown, his interaction with the people who actually own MetLife and how they tried to sue him at one point, and just a lot of stuff there. So we'll have that later on in the podcast. We'll talk about all the stuff with the MetLife Takeover. And if you are going to purchase tickets to that, and if you have any questions, they do have a page on their website, which is MetLifeTakeover.com, with frequently asked questions. And I'm going to put that on our site, because that's the one thing they said. People are sending them a lot of emails asking questions that they already have the answers for up on the site. So where you're listening to this podcast now, here on our website, DolphinsTalk.com, right underneath it, we will put a link to the frequently asked questions area. So before you send them an email, read that over, because what you're probably looking for, the answer's in there. So we will get to that more later in the podcast. First, let's talk about some news. And this is a little bit of news in the world of the Miami Dolphins. First things first, yesterday, our very own Randy Savage from right here at DolphinsTalk.com, he had the chance to interview wide receiver Jakeem Grant at Sinbad Sports. Of course, Sinbad Sports is the proud sponsor here of our podcast. And he got to talk to him for about 5 minutes. So we have the video of that up on our website, DolphinsTalk.com. So go there, check it out. You'll see Randy interviewing Jakeem Grant. And there's a lot of good information there. Jakeem talks about how the new special teams rules he thinks will help him as a returner via the kickoffs. So you want to hear what he says about that. He also, jokingly talks about who's the fastest guy on the team. And, of course, he says he's the fastest guy on the team. And he also reveals what his new haircut will be for the 2018 season and what he will have shaved in his head for his haircut for every game for this upcoming season. So check that out up on the main page here at DolphinsTalk.com. Check out the interview with Jakeem Grant and hear what he has to say in his interview with our very own Randy Savage. And I was thinking a little bit about Grant, and he could be in store for a pretty big role this year. At the end of last year, Grant, he came on strong at wide receiver. He had the touchdown against the Patriots on Monday Night Football, which everyone remembers. And he also had a touchdown in the loss against the Kansas City Chiefs as well. And Grant sort of came on as a wide receiver and sort of proved he's more than just a punt returner, more than just a kickoff return guy. He sort of stepped up his game at wide receiver. And I think that will continue to carry over into 2018, especially if we don't see any improvement with Devontae Parker. Because the reason Grant had those opportunities last year to shine was because Devontae Parker was so bad at times last year that they just yanked him off the field. Now, I know he was hurt at times as well, so some of it was because of the injuries. But late in the year, it was less about the injuries and more about him just not being a productive player on the field. And when they yanked him off the field, the person they put in his spot was Jakeem Grant. Now, I know it's sort of a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Comical, because you're replacing the guy who's 6 foot, whatever he is, in Devontae Parker with all this size in the world with little old Jakeem Grant, who's like the smallest guy on the team. But Jakeem Grant, when he was in that role, he played his fanny off, and he was a great player. So if Devontae Parker has another subpar year in 2018 like he has pretty much his whole time in Miami, do not be shocked if you see Jakeem Grant thrust back into that role and replace him at times in more of a role where he's going to be on the field more. Even if Parker plays well, I think we'll see more Grant at wide receiver. As we always say, wide receiver on this team is just so deep. It really is. You got Stills, Parker, Amendola. You have Albert Wilson, and Jakeem Grant's probably that fifth guy. But I think he opened a lot of eyes last year at wide receiver, and I think hopefully head coach Adam Gase will find new ways to get him on the field and get the ball in his hands because of his speed. You know, he's a touchdown waiting to happen. You give him a little bit of space, you give him a little bit of a crease, he can bust through it and take it right to the end zone. So hopefully we see more of Jakeem Grant on the field in 2018. Because honestly, and this is just my personal opinion, I have no faith in Devontae Parker at all. None at all. And him actually changing and sort of turning his game around. He's in a big year. Because yes, his fifth year option was picked up for Parker. But we know Miami can change it at any time. So if he has a lousy season, Miami will pull that fifth year option and say, you are now a free agent, so long. And I think that would happen if Parker has another subpar year. But I think Grant, we're going to see more of him. And once again, like to thank him for spending a few moments with us yesterday over at Sinbad Sports. And check out that Jakeem Grant interview up on the main page at DolphinsTalk.com. The other news thing, for those of you who are big into jerseys and which ones Miami is going to wear week to week, there was a little news on this today, actually, in that the NFL, they had a rule that only two times a year could you wear your quote-unquote alternate jersey, whether that's a color rush jersey, whether that's your throwback jersey, whatever third jersey you got, because you got your home jersey, which is usually white, or you have a jersey that's usually white, you have one that's usually in your whatever your team colors are, so for the Miami Dolphins, it's usually an aqua or whatever, but that alternate jersey, which for Miami in recent years has been the throwback uniform, you can only wear that twice a year. Well, the NFL changed its rules, and you can now wear it three times a year. So we might see the Miami Dolphins in 2018 wear their throwback uniforms with the throwback logo, which I know so many of you love, because you're always emailing me about it, sending me tweets about it, complaining, why don't we go back to those full time? And I've told you why a million times, we never will. But we might see that for a third time this year for the Miami Dolphins. So be on the lookout for that. In fact, I would expect, and I haven't spoken to anyone with the Miami Dolphins about this, but I would expect it'd be a no-brainer. They're going to wear that throwback uniform three times in 2018 now that they're allowed to by the NFL rules. And if it were me, and if I had a magic wand and I were in charge, I would wear them for the three home games against your division rivals. That makes the most sense. And if you look at the schedule, they're all late in the year games. So if you want to wear the dark uniform at home, it's late in the year. So I know some people get all worked up. Well, you can't wear those, you know, in September at home. It's too hot. You don't want the dark uniforms. Fine. I think that's a little overrated, honestly, but okay. But they played their three home games against their division rivals after November. From November on, I should say. Week 9, November 4th, they're home against the Jets. Week 13, December 2nd, they're home against the Bills. And the following week, December 9th, week 14, they're home against the Patriots. Those three games would make the most sense to wear the throwback uniforms on, if it were me. And it actually makes the most sense because they usually like to wear those uniforms late in the year, right before the holidays, so they can sell them around the time of Black Friday. And when you've got a game on December 2nd and a game on December 9th, right around the holiday shopping time, that's usually when they start to push those throwback uniforms. So if it were me and I were in charge, those would be the three games they should wear the throwback uniforms for against your division rivals at home late in the year. But we'll see. But I know a lot of people, and look, like I said, I'm fine with the new logo. I'm not one of these people who complain about the new logo. The new logo's fine. Yes, the old one's better, but I'm not, you know, screaming from the top of my lungs every other week that they got the worst logo in the league. It's fine, the new logo. I like the new colors. I like the new uniforms. They don't bother me, but I know a lot of you, because I hear from you, like I said, via email, Twitter, Facebook, social media. You guys are all up, all about the uniforms and what they look like and what they're going to wear. So I wanted to pass this news on to you that there's a very good chance that for out of the 8 home games in the regular season, for at least 3 of them, they'll be wearing the old throwback uniforms. So be on the lookout for that. And, you know, they really could, if they wanted to, wear a throwback uniform that's white. I know white's white, so it's kind of dull and boring, but and I wouldn't expect that. So I think if they do go with the throwback uniforms 3 times, it'll be what we've seen in recent years, and it will be that dark aqua color, excuse me, and the old, obviously, logo on the side of the helmet. So we're going to take a quick break here, and when I come back from the break, I will be joined by Igor from Dolphins NYC, one of the co-founders of the MetLife Takeover, and we're going to talk MetLife Takeover. We're going to get the history of the MetLife Takeover, and we're going to pass on to you all the information you need to know on how to buy your 2018 MetLife Takeover tickets and stuff for the tailgate and stuff if you want to take the bus ride in with them from New York City and such. We'll talk about all that right after this quick break.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. To win in South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Igor from Dolphins NYC. He is one of the co-founders of the MetLife Takeover. Igor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How's it going?
It's going great. So I saw the past few days here, all of the information has been released about the MetLife Takeover. And I get asked on our site a lot about what is it, because there are a lot of people who are still maybe have heard about it but are unsure what it is. Can you tell us a little bit what the MetLife Takeover is and how long you have been running it?
Yeah, so in 2008, that year that we made the playoffs, you probably will remember that.
Yes.
I had just met, well, maybe I'd known her for about a year, my friend Michelle, who is, you know, now the co-founder of Dolphins NYC with me. And her and I and a few other people went to that Jets game where we actually beat the Jets and made the playoffs officially. And there was about 8 of us. Michelle said it was 4. I think it was 8. It doesn't matter. but yeah, there's a handful of us, and it was pretty, I mean, the win was amazing, but as far as like dealing with Jets fans, it was really awful.
Yeah, it's
and,
right.
The next year we started Dolphins NYC because our group of about, you know, 8 Dolphins fans went to about 30 by the end of the year because, you know, the team was actually good and word of mouth was getting around.
Yep.
We had a group. So Michelle and I both had run Dolphins websites before, which is actually how we met. We met at the Miami Dolphins web weekend. And we just said, why don't we quit doing our websites and join together and do this New York City Dolphins website. So the next year we had a group of about 30 people, and that was sort of what wasn't called the MetLife Takeover then, but it was our first, you know, group trip. And then the next year there's 70 of us, and the next year there's 250. And then the first year of MetLife, there's 750 of us, and it really became the MetLife Takeover after that.
That's amazing. 750. How many people went last year, roughly?
It was about 1,000. we had 900 seats from the Jets, and then we bought a ton of seats around our seats. You know,
okay.
we were sort
yeah,
of,
yeah.
You know, once the Jets, you know, well, I guess it was at the very beginning of the year. Usually, what happens is the Jets are terrible and prices tank. But that was actually our opening game last year, so I guess we just bought stuff on StubHub, you know, and started flipping them to people just to make sure everyone was near us.
Yeah.
So I don't know exact number, but I mean our record is 1250, and I think it was over 1,000 last year.
Okay.
But then there's always a ton of people who, you know, don't want to sit up in the nosebleeds because you know that's the only place you can get 1,000 people sit next to each other.
In a
so
block.
There's people
yes,
who
absolutely.
Sit, you know, downstairs, and you know, it's a lot of those people show up to our tailgate and not
then sit by themselves
you know, to sit with us. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's actually grown, you know, because of that too. I mean, there's more, even though we're all concentrated up top, there's more people coming to this than ever before. And it's really become a huge thing. So it's really three parts, you know, it's obviously the group ticket purchase is, you know, the biggest thing for us, but then we also throw this huge tailgate party. And then we usually do this party beforehand, like the night before the game at our bar Slattery's in New York, because we want people to check out the bar and it's fun to sort of get together and be able to talk to people, you know, the night before the game.
Yep, it looks like a blast. And for those of you who want to sort of learn about this more, you can go to the website MetLifeTakeOver.com. We have an article up on our site as well as a video from last year's events where it does show the night before. It does show prior to the game out there in the parking lot and just the fun times at the tailgate. Now, you said that the Jets fans can sometimes be miserable, as we all know. When you're in a block of that size of 1,000 seats, 900 seats, is it as bad as it would be if you're just there, like five of you, you know, if there's like five
they,
or
they
six of you?
They don't say a word.
They don't say
they
squat,
don't
right?
say
yeah.
a word. Yeah, I mean, people just, I mean, you know, when there's been, I think we've lost maybe two games out of all the MetLife Takeovers. I mean, it's not, we have a very good record.
Yeah.
But, you know, the times that they've won some games, they've given us, you know, given us a hard time. But, it's not like no one's trying to start a fight. I mean,
yeah,
there's
exactly.
a thousand of us. You know, you're not
exactly.
going to do anything.
That would be unwise. Yeah. Now, MetLife, you are sort of using your name, and I work for a large organization, and I know sometimes they got armies of lawyers, and they get a little squirrely if their name's being used in a certain way. Have the people
yep.
at MetLife ever reached out to you and sort of said, "Hey, why are you using our name in this
they,
way?"
They absolutely have. And I argued our case. They wanted to take our domain from us.
Jesus.
And I basically told them that it's fair use and that, you know, if they want to have their name as branding on a stadium, people are going to use their name, which is the whole point of it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They actually apologized to us and let us keep the domain. So, so far, so good.
Yeah, that's great. Because like you said, if they're going to put the name on a stadium, it's going to be used in a way. And it's not like you're using your name in a way to make them look bad. You're just trying to sell tickets to an event. And what they probably are not, and which they might not even know, is a lot of the money that you sort of raise there with sort of raffles and auctions, that money goes to charity. So if they were to come down on you, they would look really, really bad once that got out, which I'm sure they're probably not even aware of that. So,
When we started the charity fundraising, it was actually served sort of two purposes. And one of those purposes was so the Dolphins didn't come after us. I mean, we wanted to sell Dolphins NYC t-shirts and things like that. And we didn't want the Dolphins being like, well, you're using our, you know, our trademark to make money. And so it's a lot easier to be like, yeah, well, we're selling your merch. And then we just gave all that money to the Miami Dolphins Foundation or Sylvester Cancer, or, you know, any of the things that we give money to. I mean, really, we thought we were going to be raising a few hundred bucks a year, and we just didn't want to fight over the money. So
yeah, exactly.
For Michelle and I, it was just an easy way to say, hey, let's do this for fun. We're not doing this as a business. We're doing this as a, you know, just something we love to do. And now it's actually become a business, and we're an official nonprofit. And, you know, there's all the headaches that come with
yes,
that.
I'm sure. But yeah, like you said, a ton of the money all goes to helps out great things like the Miami Dolphins Cancer Challenge. I know last year you gave some money to the Kiko Alonso Fund there when he was helping
yep.
In what was it? Puerto Rico, I believe, and stuff like that. So a lot of the money is going there, and there's raffles and stuff. It's a fun time. So for people who want more information on this, they can go to MetLifeTakeover.com. And like I said, we have something up on our site. So let's talk a little Miami Dolphins football since I got you. It's been a long off season. We're getting close here. We're about 16 or 17 days away here from rookies reporting for training camp. I guess the first question about this offseason, what are your thoughts on Jarvis Landry no longer being in Miami, and they brought in guys like Albert Wilson and Amendola to replace him? What are your thoughts on the wide receiver group overall?
I mean, you know, if you told me that that was going to be our wide receiver core without having any idea who Jarvis Landry was, I'd be really happy. But I'm a huge Jarvis Landry fan, and it was devastating to me. And the fact that he seems very against the team now, and it just kills me to see us let a player like that go, who was, the heart of our offense. I mean, it seemed like that entire team was led by, you know, Rashad Jones and Jarvis Landry, and to lose the younger of those two players is just kills me. I'm happy with almost all of the other moves. I don't think a team gets better when you lose a player like Sue, but I certainly understand it from it's a lot of money to be tied up in one player. I don't see the Dolphins being a better team except for at the quarterback position. So, you know, I'm not sure I have a ton of high hopes, but you know, this might be the first year that Ryan Tannehill has a decent offensive line. So the Dolphins could surprise me.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we talk about a lot here on this podcast, is that last year Miami found a way to win six games with Matt Moore and Jay at the quarterback spot. Now, those guys are gone, obviously, and we have a huge upgrade there. I think a huge upgrade, at least, because I don't think those two guys were any good, really. So if they won six without him, if he's in a fold, Ryan Tannehill, I mean, I think eight wins is sort of not out of the question. And then you hope you catch a break here. You catch a break there, maybe a sneak to 9, maybe a sneak to 10, because they found a way last year to win six without them. And they beat Atlanta on the road. They beat New England at home. They beat Tennessee at home. Those teams were in the playoffs, and they found a way to beat those teams. So I'm with you. I don't have, like, the highest of hopes, but I think they're going to be – let's just say they're going to be in the hunt for a wild – for like a wild card late in the year, which is all you can ask for, is that you're playing meaningful games late in the year.
I mean, you're not wrong. If we won, nine games, it wouldn't be a huge shock to me, because I really do think Tannehill is a good quarterback, and whenever he plays without someone chasing him, he plays really well. So
it seems to help. Yeah,
I could be very surprised, and I guess I wouldn't be surprised, I think that if they won 9-10 games, I would be very happy. On the other hand, if they won three games, I wouldn't be that surprised either.
Exactly.
So
you have
have no idea.
Exactly. That's the way this league sort of is. Unless you're a team like New England or somewhere like that, you don't have those high expectations. You're in that range from like 6 wins to 10 wins. If things fall one way, you're probably around 6. If things fall another way, you're probably around 9 or 10. You just got to hope you catch some breaks. You don't have a ton of guys hurt. And I think most of the league is in that sort of hefty middle, really.
Yeah, I mean, the injuries is obviously such a big deal.
Yeah, big deal. Now, I saw you were at this year's NFL draft. What do you think of some of the guys they selected in the draft? And more specifically, the guys like in rounds 1 and 2, like Minka Fitzpatrick and Mike Gesicki.
I don't want to pretend like I have any idea. I don't enjoy the draft. I enjoy the draft. I don't enjoy the pre-draft hype. I don't watch college football.
It goes on forever.
I don't know anything about these players, and no one does. And the best analysts in the world, you know, they miss as much as they get right. And so the idea of getting really upset or really happy about any player is just – it's silly to me. Now, I love that we drafted a safety. That's my favorite position to watch. And I love that we got a tight end, because I thought that was a big hole. So am I happy with those picks? Absolutely. Now, I was really happy with Deion Jordan, you know? So who knows, you know? Yes. And I mean, it's like, think about, you know, if everybody talks about like Ted Ginn being like one of our worst picks, like, what if we drafted Brady Quinn that everybody wanted? I mean, that would have been way worse. Yeah. Way worse. Yeah. If Ted Ginn was a third round pick, he probably would have retired a Dolphin. You know, people would have loved him.
And since he left Miami, he's had a nice little NFL career since he left Miami. He's been a great player.
He had a good career in Miami. He just ran out of bounds and wasn't the number one pick. You know, I mean, he was a great second receiver. I mean, you know, someone like him is just, you know, maybe not, but I mean, to me, he's like a Kenny Stills, you know. Fast dude can run downfield, has a lot of upside, and occasionally drops the ball. a lot of balls.
Yeah. One of the last questions I got for you here. Running back, obviously they brought in Frank Gore this offseason, but the man everyone who's excited about is Kenyon Drake. You have high hopes for him this year, and do you think he'll sort of pick up where he left off at the end of last year? Or do you think those last five or six games, it's a small little sample size, and we really don't know if he can do that week in, week out for a full year? What are your thoughts on Drake and the running backs?
I think that running back seems to be the most replaceable position in all of football. And I think, you know, the Denver Broncos proved that if you have a good offensive line, you know, you can just replace players. And drafting a running back with the second pick in the draft seems completely insane to me. So I have no idea. I'm not trying to predict anything, but Drake seems like the real deal.
Yeah.
I don't know why he couldn't get on the field before then.
That is very curious. That's very curious.
And, you know, I love that we have Frank Gore in the building. I mean, it's just like, that's the kind of player. It's just fun to have, you know, you have this legend walking around, you know, who doesn't want a Frank Gore Dolphins jersey? Like, it's fun. It's like when Junior Seau came, or, you know, something, Thurman Thomas. It's just, it's a good presence in the locker room. It's fun for the fans. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he had a few pretty great plays, you know, this year.
I think so too. Cause he's going to the Hall of Fame for sure. And I think he'll have at least one more year in him, where he'll probably score five or six times, and he'll probably put up some halfway decent numbers. And I think he'll help this offense a lot, because he's a guy who's not going to make mental mistakes. And that's what you want on this offense, because
we've gone years without having five or six rushing touchdowns. So that'd be pretty great if that were true.
Last year it took us to like week 9 or 10 until we had our first. I mean, it was a long wait last year. So I think he's going to help us out there. And I think he was a great signing, because he's someone who's been around the block and maybe can help some of these younger guys, because we do have some young guys on offense as well. So everyone, be sure to visit MetLifeTakeOver.com. I think I saw they're going for $70 each.
So the tickets right now are $65 until the 13th. We changed our system this year. So it used to be you'd have to sign up and then we'd send you an invoice. And so we did away with that this year for just like a PayPal system. You can use your credit card. You don't have to actually use PayPal if you don't have a PayPal account. But it costs more on our end because we have to pay these, you know, the PayPal service fees. But we charged like a $3 basically handling charge per order. So even if you order 10 tickets, it's still only $3. But that helps us recover a little of that PayPal money. But we also wanted to get everybody in and do this, you know, try to get as much of this done as early as possible. So if you order by the 13th, which is next Friday, the tickets are only $65.
Yep.
We also have $30 round trip bus tickets from our bar, Slattery's. And we only have 216 tickets on the bus. So the sooner you get those in, the better if you want to join us. And then we also have the tailgate we're doing, which is actually with a for-profit company. So it's not like that. We do get $5 per ticket for charity, but the rest of it is their whole deal. But you can get a coupon from us for $20 off those tickets. So it goes from $85 to $65. And that is until September 1st. And then the tickets go up to $100 because they just need to know how much food to buy.
Absolutely. And I think the game this year is what, September 16th?
Yes.
Yep, September 16th, which is, I think, week four, three or four, somewhere around there. Week two, yeah. That's right. Week two, September 16th, MetLife Takeover. Oh, one more thing I want to say before I let you go, because I remember last year we were at Web Weekend, and we were sitting down at the table, eating our food, and we talked the whole time about the NHL. Because we're at Web Weekend, and we're talking hockey, it makes no sense.
It's funny.
In the Miami Dolphins facility.
You were asking me about the off season. I thought you were going to ask what was your favorite part of our off season.
I know your favorite part of the off season. The Washington Capitals holding that cup. I know it because we sat there for an hour eating hamburgers and chicken sandwich in the Miami Dolphins headquarters, and all we did was talk about hockey in the Washington Capitals. And you were heartbroken that year. You were heartbroken how that year ended. So I know you had to be thrilled this year. What was that like seeing them win the Stanley Cup finally?
I mean, it was the first time in my life. I mean, I grew up in D.C., but the only team that I didn't root for is the only D.C. team that's won in my lifetime. You know, the Skins won in 97 and they won in 91. And I loved 91 because they beat the Bills. But, you know, I've never felt a championship. And I got to tell you, it was the greatest thing. And it's just so funny to listen to my friends talk about the off season in hockey. And I'm just like, who cares?
You got to win. Once you win the cup. Yeah. It's like, you got like a 5-year little period where you don't care if they win another game. Cause you just won the cup in 2017 or in 2018. That's all you care about.
You know, it's funny. I went and got a Stanley Cup tattoo right after.
Oh, really?
And I had this idea like, oh, I'm going to get one. And then I'm going to leave room for, you know, Lombardi trophy if the Dolphins win in my lifetime. And then I was like, you know what? That's too jinxy. And so I actually moved the spot just so I wouldn't have this hole.
Yeah.
But, you know, I certainly will get that tattoo somewhere if the Dolphins ever fly.
Yeah,
I got to say, though, I mean, I love the Capitals. I love hockey. I've loved hockey my whole life. But it's not the same as the Dolphins, I can't, I'm, as elated as I was, I could not imagine. I couldn't imagine it. I would have been so happy, but I will say that all the pain I suffered with the Dolphins, you know, was lifted off me with that cup, you know, it was like seeing Alex Ovechkin win was like seeing Dan Marino win, you know?
Yeah,
and I never got that, and I thought I would never get that with him either. So it was a hell of a
moment. I'm a Rangers fan, so I saw them win in 94, and I'll probably never see him ever win again in the Rangers. But I got that one, so I'm happy with the Rangers. Yeah. I'm also a Yankees fan. I've seen them win so many times. I don't even care about baseball anymore, honestly. I've seen them win so many times, Yankees. Everybody's going nuts this year. Great. I've already seen them win like 5 times in my life, whatever.
Dynasties are boring.
Yeah, they are. The one that really still gets me was 2003 when – Syracuse won the NCAA title in men's basketball. That one probably means the most, even a little more than the Rangers. Diehard fan of SU sports. That one means the most. But that would even compare nothing to the Miami Dolphins winning a Super Bowl. If they ever won one, I'd probably quit the podcast, quit my site. Life's over. They won. I've seen it. That would mean the most out of all of them. But so I know how you feel because. And the whole time I'm watching the playoffs, the one thing that kept popping in my mind was Web Weekend last year. We're sitting at the Dolphins talking hockey the whole time, and I knew you were a diehard Capitals fan because you were crushed how that last year ended.
They won a lot of games this year, but they played terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think they had a chance. Their defense was so inept. And then they signed Michael Kempney, who I'd never even heard of before. This bench player for the Chicago Blackhawks just fixed their defense overnight. It was the weirdest thing that ever happened. And they just went from being like completely inept in the defensive zone to being like one of the better fundamentally defensive teams in the playoffs. And it just, I don't know. It was,
worked.
I mean, I was joking around all season about how since the Caps had no shot this year, we should just try to get Ovechkin as many goals as possible. And we should just play, without a goalie all year. And just have Ovechkin sit on the blue line and just wait for goals, you know? So he'd just be on the ice for 60 minutes a game. There'd
just
be no goalie.
Just stand in one spot, just play offense. Don't worry about defense.
He'd just cherry pick. We'd get scored, you know, 100 goals to 5, but all 5 goals would be Ovechkin, you know?
Yeah.
And he would just, you know, take down Wayne Gretzky's record, and we could all just, you know, enjoy our 0-win season.
All right, Igor. Well, thanks so much for a few moments of your time tonight. And like I said, everyone, be sure to check out MetLifeTakeOver.com and buy your seats now. Yes.
Please, please, please read the frequently asked questions page. I spent 3 hours working on it. And,
okay. Yes, if you have any questions, check the
heartache from having to Michelle has to respond to all of your emails. And I can't tell you.
God.
I mean, we have 20 emails today. So,
oh, God, I believe it. Please. Yeah, I will put a link to that up on our site, too. Right on this podcast, I'll put a link. So if you are listening to this, you're going to see the link. It's going to be right under it. Click that before you send them an email, because whatever you're asking, the answer's probably there. So you got all your answers there, and you can just read that up. So everyone, be sure to go to MetLifeTakeOver.com. Igor, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Thanks, man.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
Once again, I'd like to thank Igor from Dolphins NYC and the MetLife Takeover for joining me tonight on the podcast. And once again, for all the information you need about the MetLife Takeover, go to MetLifeTakeOver.com. We have an article about it up on our site with all the links you need. And before you send them an email, like we said at the end, before you send them an email, check out their frequently asked questions page, because I'm sure whatever thought or question you have, they got the answer for you up already. So you don't even have to send them an email. But check that out as well. And if you do have a question for them that's not there, by all means, send them an email. Yeah, so check all that out, and it's a great event, and I recommend everyone go. I'm going to try and go this year. I don't know if I can, but I'm going to try and go. September is a little bit of a tricky month for me, but I'm going to try and be there. But everyone who I've talked to that's ever went, they love it. It's a great time. It's a great event, and you're just with a bunch, like you said, around 1,000 or more fans of the Miami Dolphins. So how can you not have a great time, some great food, and when the team wins, it's even more fun. So everyone, be sure to check out the MetLifeTakeOver.com. And if you are interested in going, I highly recommend you go. We got July 4th, middle of this week, so we'll probably do another show middle of the later part of this week. We're getting close to training camp, so this is still the dead part of the season. There's really not much to talk about. I'm trying to line up a few more guests to have on the podcast, but I'll probably do another mailbag show later this week. Not quite sure what day yet, as I am trying to get through all of your emails and all of your tweets and stuff that you guys have been sending me since, you know, pretty much since February with the mailbag questions. We've done about 2 or 3 mailbag shows so far, and I've gone through a bunch of them, and there's still a whole bunch more to get through. I want to get through all of them before training camp, because once we get to training camp, which I think the rookies report on July 18th, I think is the date. So once we get there, you know, there's not going to be a lot of time for mailbag questions. So I'm going to try to get through all of them before July 18th. So we'll do another mailbag show later this week. So be on the lookout for that. Also, for those of you who have yet to check out our new website layout and design, go to DolphinsTalk.com. Last week, we unveiled our new look, our new layout, our new logo, the whole nine yards. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback on it. So everyone check that out. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page. On our YouTube page, which we have just sort of started, that's where we have the videos of the Jakeem Grant interview. And we also have our video from last year of our interview with Jarvis Landry as well. And we're going to be adding so much more to our YouTube page, so be on the lookout for that and subscribe to it. So when we do drop new videos, you are made aware. Also, be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen, on iTunes, SoundCloud, you know, Podbean, however you listen to this podcast, be sure you subscribe to it. So every time a new show drops, it will be sent directly to your smart device and you are made aware so you can listen immediately. So be sure to subscribe to the podcast as well. As always, be sure to follow me on Twitter @DolphinsTalk, @DolphinsTalk, and also follow and like our Facebook page. We're going to start doing some more stuff with Facebook. We're going to start to integrate all the social media platforms now all around our site. So we've had a Facebook page for a while, haven't done much with it. You're going to want to go to our Facebook page. The link to it is up on the main page on the site, right-hand side, DolphinsTalk.com Facebook page. Click it, like it, follow it. So we're going to start to sort of give away prizes, have contests, do trivia on our Facebook, and that's just going to be on the Facebook page and no place else, as well as some other new content that will be just exclusively for our Facebook page. So you're going to want to be following that and liking that as well. As always, be sure to follow and support the other websites that re-air this podcast. They are FinFanatic.com, FinFever.com, TheGruelingTruth.net, and Dolphin-UK.com, as well as the Facebook pages, Fanatics, the Miami Dolphins End Zone, and Dolphinatics. So, everyone, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.